Tomorrow, youth will be at the Wendells, right? Yep. 4 to 6. So, yay. Good time. 4 to 6. Tomorrow night, Wendells. Yay. All right. So, it's always good. The youth is always good because of the fact that, come on, ladies. Let's just admit, you kind of get off track, right, too, sometimes at your Bible studies, right? Oh, there's some talking and stuff going on. The men's group, too, we get busy eating and stuff, and sometimes we talk about other things, so. But it's good for the youth to get together. It's good fellowship. They do talk about the Word, and I will say this. I've been in youth groups before, and not everybody's perfect, and again, we're not. But I remember just being in youth, and there's a lot of kids that are in, it seems like a lot of the youth groups that, they're not necessarily there to learn about God or connect with sometimes. They're just there. But I think our kids are really, really grounded. We got some really good grounded kids that they love God. And I think that they're really wanting to, grow and develop in the things of God, And sometimes it's good, to have around that centered around the Word. And then also, too, just fellowship. Sometimes you got to know that there's other kids out there that think the same thing you do. And I know my girls, even though they go go to a Christian school, they are definitely a minority in the way that they think and the way we. So it's definitely a blessing for my girls to get together in youth, to be around other kids that, again, they can feel like support, obviously the Spirit filled message and interested in talking about things. So the crazy thing is, the kids we have in this church have so much more depth than when I was growing up. You listen to them and it's just like, wow, they have so much more knowledge and insight than I ever did. So, amen. I'm really proud of our youth and our kids in this church. And again, it all starts at the home too. So congratulations to moms and dads that it's important to you to make the things of God a priority. Amen. Because statistically speaking, moms, not friends, moms and dads are still the most influential people in a child's life, even when they get to teenage. So just remember that, and sometimes they're watching us, and listening to what we're doing and saying. So we're still impacting our kids, and don't let those people outside of these walls or other people tell you that you're not important because you are. We're going to continue tonight with talking about, we're still talking about breaking the power of curses in our lives, amen? Getting free from junk and the devil tries to attack us on. Now again, I just want a prerequisite. I am not someone that thinks that there's a devil behind every bush, and I've been in churches before too where everything is like, well, we're just under attack. This is the devil. That's just the devil. Sometimes you just do dumb things and you don't help your cause, right? You say dumb things, you do dumb things, and so, sometimes you don't help your cause, but other times there is a spiritual attack, and there are things that there's assignments on you and your family, and we're not going to get paranoid, but we're going to deal with those things, right? Jesus never went around paranoid in fear about demons. Guess what? When he came upon one or there's a problem in life, he just dealt with it, took authority over it, and he moved on, right? So we're going to deal with things, we're going to take authority over the devil, and we're going to move on. We're going to move on. And so we don't need to get paranoid or in fear because the enemy, that's one of the spirits. The Bible talks about a spirit of fear. We do not have the spirit of fear, do we? Bible says we do not have the spirit of fear. We do not have the spirit of fear. Just to kind of recap a few things, we're going to move on tonight. Let's look at Luke chapter 13, verse 11. And you remember the last few weeks I've talking about things where there are difference in the Bible where, again, Jesus healed people of sickness, and then we also see where often that there was a spirit involved, and Jesus delivered them, and they were healed. Sometimes there's ailments, and other times there's spirits involved that are hindering people. Luke chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "Now behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of what? Infirmity." And let's look at her symptoms there. Now, it says 18 years... And he was bowed together, right? So she was bowed together and couldn't lift herself up. So she was bent over and she was stuck like that for 18 years. Now, I'm not a doctor. I've never played on TV. Okay, my first name is not doctor. But, okay, but there are obviously some things where if the medical could say, they would probably have some kind of diagnosis for this. I don't know what it would be, whether it's just arthritis or something, some kind of diagnosis. I don't know what that would be. But from a natural standpoint, this lady was, there was something, you know, hindering her, and it looked like some kind of disease or something was happening, right, to the natural eye. But the Bible talks about behind the scenes, there was something going on in the spirit realm. And we know there's a spirit of infirmity. That means there was a spirit attacking this lady's body. She could not straighten herself up, and she'd been in this condition for 18 years. Well, most people would come along and they'd say, hey, we're gonna pray for healing. We're gonna pray for healing. Good. But not everything is praying for healing, though. Sometimes we're dealing with spirits that we need to take authority over, right? And there's a number, I'm going to look at a few more examples here in the Bible where Jesus dealt with the spirit. He didn't pray for healing. He dealt with the spirit. Let's go on here, and then it says what? And it says, could not lift up, verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loose from what? Your infirmity. He didn't say, let's pray that you're going to be healed. She needed healing. She needed her body to be healed. That's true. But he said, you're loose from what? Your infirmity. What he's saying is you're loose from that spirit, because he called it infirmity, and the Bible calls it a spirit of infirmity. So when Jesus used the word, he spoke what? The name of the spirit, which is what? Infirmity. What did Jesus do when he came to the man that was demon-possessed, and it was legion, and then he cast him out, and they went into the swine? What did he say? He says, what is your name? Right? Because he's going to command them by name to come out. We are legion for what? We are many. And he said, come out. He is speaking to this spirit, and he says, you're loose from this infirmity. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and was glorified, right? One of the things that the Apostle Paul talks about is the laying on of hands. Jesus did this also. There's laying on of hands. We see we can receive healing by laying on of hands. Jesus did that right here. We see that, again, Apostle Paul talks about the milk of the word, and also one of the primary ministries in Christian faith is laying on of hands. We see several times in the book of Acts. We see 8, 10, chapter 12, also verse chapter 6, that there were people, they laid hands on people, and they instantly received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we know that our hands are jumper cables in the spirit realm. Why? Because the spirit in and upon us, there's power in there. It's called the Zoe kind of life that lives in us. When we lay hands on people, things happen. I've laid hands on people before, but one of the most dramatic things that happened to me, my aunt was in the hospital. They gave her 3 days to live. And so I went in there and I prayed. I just said, in the name of Jesus. Now, I've prayed for people before, and I haven't had any. And again, we don't judge on how people react, right? Because I've prayed for people before, and they just walk back. And then next week, they're like, hey, I got healed. You didn't look like it. You look like you've been sucking lemons all week, right? So, you know, sometimes there's no reaction, and we can't judge that. I'm not the healer anyway. I don't do anything, so all I do is I'm just the messenger boy, just laying my hands on people. But I went there and I talked to her for a while, and I laid my hands on, when I touched her foot, she was underneath the sheets, and when I touched her foot, her whole body just went off the bed, like it just jolted the whole thing. And I didn't think of that. Oh, that's kind of interesting. So 2 days later, she walked out of the hospital, right? Completely whole. 7 years later, she died, right? So God gave her about another 7 years. Well, there is a laying on of hands that, again, there's a connection when we lay hands on people, right? And so Jesus spoke to the spirit of infirmity. He didn't say, well, I pray you're going to be healed. Now, let me just say this. People, Jesus is Jesus, and he is the Word, right? We see John 1:1 that the Word was God, the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was the Word. So anything he spoke was going to come into existence and would have happened. But again, Jesus was led by the Spirit. What is in Luke chapter 4? It says, after he was, John, his cousin, baptized in water, he came up out of the water, out of the Jordan, and what happened? The Holy Spirit fell on him as in the form of a dove. That's one of the just a few places where the Trinity is all together in one spot in the Bible, right? Because we see Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and then God the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," right? So Jesus here deals with the spirit of infirmity to set someone free. And often, this is why, and I'm telling you right now, this is why you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of speaking in tongues is because Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He had empowered, and at that point, he was led by the Spirit. What that means is when you come to a situation, the Holy Spirit needs to lead you down certain things. What happens is, then if you're not led by the Spirit, then all you're doing is you're just trying to pull switches, right? You're anointing people with oil, and you're doing this, and you're doing this, and you're doing this, and you're doing this, and you're just going through routine, right? I've said this before. One time I was, Adrian, we were in Oskaloosa. We were living there, and she wasn't feeling very well. And, you know, and I thought, well, I'm going to quote Mark 11:22. So my mind was going a certain direction, you know? And that's okay, because we need to start with the Word, right? But I thought that, and on the inside, it was just, you need anoint her with oil. And I thought, well, that's not really super spiritual. So anoint her with oil, she was instantly healed. Again, it's being led by the Spirit. Do I lay hands on them? Do I just speak the Word? Do I anoint them with oil? What do I need to do here? And so that's why we need to be led by the Spirit. And Jesus was led by the Spirit, because this wasn't a healing thing. This was a spiritual issue that need to be dealt, that had to been dealt with. We move on here, and again, this was some kind of, but again, the Bible refers to it as a spirit of infirmity. There was a spirit involved. The Bible talks about a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of death, spirit of infirmity. The Bible talks about different spirits that are evil spirits that are operation that try to come against us. One of them is a spirit of infirmity. Let's go down here to Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Matthew 12, 22. This is another instance where Jesus dealt with a spirit. And this wasn't something that... Now, I just say this. Sometimes, and you can kind of tell when you're around people, right? That, you know, some people just look out the outside. But on the inside, often I'll be around people and I can tell there's a spirit involved. And we see here that... Verse 22, it says, "And there brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb." Now stop here. There was a spirit, there was a demonic spirit involved, and what were the symptoms? He was blind and dumb, right? My grandmother went blind before I was born. And she has horrible diabetes, and she was blind. And she was like the one of the, she died in 1982, so I was just in grade school, but early 80s, but she died. She was the sweetest lady ever, just the sweetest lady. But she was blind, and probably a couple years before I was born. Anyway, she had experimental surgery, because when you're blind, you have diabetes, sometimes there's such painful pressure behind your eyes that she was the first one they did experimental operation to try to relieve that pressure. So, but in this instance, there was a spirit involved. So again, some people can have conditions that, again, they may be triggered by other things. Sometimes it's just a spirit. And it says here, "Then there was brought in him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him." Here we go. "In so much that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw." So what's this mean? There was a spirit involved that was causing this person to be blind and dumb. And instantly Jesus healed him of these things, right? Because there's a spirit involved. He needed to deal with the spirit. Again, I'm convinced we're medicating too many things that are spirits. See, we're trying to medicate things. It's not going to happen, right? It's just, I think there's a lot of mental illness sometimes that it's not necessarily, you know, maybe a chemical imbalance, but there's a spirit involved. And people need to be delivered from certain things, right? I know people that have done drugs and then they have schizophrenia problems. Why? Because they open themselves up to things, to spirits. Anytime, I'm just saying this. That's why do you think they call it wine and spirits? There's a reason why, right? You know, all these people, they're talking about how they talk to aliens and stuff, or they're on these drug trips and everything. You're not talking to aliens, okay? I'm telling you what right now. You're opening yourself up into the demonic realm, and you don't want to go there. And so that's why the Bible says be sober and vigilant, right? Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit, the Apostle Paul says. All these people out there, you know. I don't know what it is. Just so many Christians, they want to. I mean, if you really want to drink, you can do whatever you want to, right? I'm not sure, you know, that this is, these are, you've got to deal with those things. But the thing of it is, anytime you're doing, the reason why the Bible talks about be not drunk with wine, but what? Be filled with the Spirit is because you're opening yourself to some kind of spiritual realm and you might as well make it the Holy Spirit, right? And so we see this person had a demonic spirit that was involved. Jesus dealt again with the spirit, and in the assembly they were healed. They were delivered from blindness, and they were not dumb anymore. Again, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert, seeking rest, but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person that I came from. So it returns, and it finds its former home empty, swept in an order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there, and so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. I want to know, I know this firsthand too many times, that I see people, they get born again, they have a great experience, and I'm so happy for them, right? But one of the first things I say is, look out, because guess what? There's the enemy is going to try to attack you and take this away from you. And then you're going to say, that Christianity doesn't work. The Holy Spirit, that's all junk. That none of that stuff works. No, what happens is, when you get born again, you set free, the enemy's going to come back and he's going to test you, right? We see there in Luke chapter 4, again, after Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. He comes out. What does he do? The Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness to what? Be tempted. If you think you're not going to be tempted and Jesus was tempted, that's ridiculous. The devil kept coming back and tempting him and trying to get him. He's on the cross. Well, you know, if you're really the Son of God, call down a legion of angels and deliver yourself. Again, Jesus was tempted. And what's the time that the devil loves to tempt you is when you're in your weakest hour. Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. What's the devil come in? Full force, try to get him. He's gonna try to get you too at your most vulnerable time. When Jesus is on the cross, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Where the devil shows up in your most weak time, when you are the most vulnerable, to try to get you to fall. But that's nobody here, right? And again, it doesn't mean we're prey, but what it means is we're wise as serpents and gentle as doves. It means we know the tricks the devil has. And just as many years as I've been, you know, a Christian, pastor, you can see the tricks of the devil playing things on people, right? Attacking them, tries to pick people off all the time, you know, the same lie, you know, oh, you'll never be a good Christian, you'll never be this, you'll never be this, and you'll never be this, and you'll never be this. And I like to tell the devil, guess what? You'll never make it to heaven. You'll never have experienced the same thing. You're never going to be, you know, with Jesus like I am. Oh, by the way, you're going to be in the lake of fire forever. Oh, by the way, you're never going to have the same ranking I am. By the way, I'm going to judge you in the end. And then all of a sudden, they disappear. Let me begin to remind him that he is defeated. And the blood of Jesus has defeated him. Again, we do not play around with these things. We take control over them. We don't need to be afraid of them. We don't need to look over our shoulder and be paranoid. We need to command the thing to go and take authority. We're looking at some authority here in a minute, but Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 18, we talked last week about the armor of God, right? Just because you get born again, just because you get saved, just because you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is not over. The fight begins because the devil is going to want to try to do everything he can to get you to fall. He's going to try to get you to question your faith. Did I really get saved? Did this really happen? Did I really get healed? Did I really get delivered? Did I really do this? Did I really do this? And you're going to say, yes. You're going to pick up your armor. Too many Christians don't pick up their armor and they backslide or they feel like they're weak. Guess what? All you have and all you need is in you. And right here in this book. Put on the whole armor of God that what you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's this mean? The devil will come. It's not if, but it's when. And you're going to be ready. And you're going to be packing Holy Ghost heat when he shows up. And you're going to gun him down with the word. You're going to take control. No, you are not taking my kids. No, you are not taking my marriage. No, you are not taking my finances. I'm going to tell you who's in charge, and it's not you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual darkness in high places. Wherefore, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the evil day, and I will understand. Sometimes you just need to stand, right? Sometimes we just say, oh, I need this super. You know what? Sometimes throughout my Christian life, I just didn't give up. That's it. I mean, you got to stand sometimes. People in the Bible, they had horrible things happening, right? King David, Ziklag. He's at Ziklag, you know? We got some heathens coming in. They took their wives. They took everything, and they came back, and everything's gone. And then now they're sitting there, and they're thinking about stoning. They're thinking about killing David, and you took his out, oh, and they're blaming it, and they're thinking about killing David. And once he do, he's like, okay, wait a minute. I got to keep it cool here. I got to go to God. All right, what do you want me to do? And God said, go after him. I'm going to deliver him in your hands. I'm going to be with you, and you're going to defeat him, and you're going to get everything back. All David had to do was just stand. That's it. Just stand. Just say, you know what? What do I do here, God? And just not fall apart, right? Go into some kind of a tizzy fit. Feel sorry for me, you know? That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to cower down and feel sorry for yourself and everything. Nope. Nope. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you still have hope. And the devil is going to make you think that everything's awful, everything's terrible. Here we go. Therefore, stand therefore, having your loins girt about by truth and having the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, here we go. Take then the shield of faith, whereon you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, right? So the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that means we're taking the attack to the enemy. Too many people, when they, you know, when any kind of pressure comes from the enemy or anything else, it's like they cower down. Oh my goodness, right? So many people have come against us because, you know, like our kids and everything, and you know, they make comments about us, and you know, we're spirit filled and tongue talking, and it's like, you know what? It's like Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. We just have ignorant people out there who just don't know the Bible, right? And I still love them, right? But I'm not gonna fall to pieces. But the whole thing is, I feel bad for them because they don't have the understanding. You know what? Can I just say something too? There are people who have good hearts that they want to serve God, and they're bound by ignorance. They are just flat out stupid about the Bible. They don't know anything, or they got people, their leadership, that they're scared. Let me just say this sometimes. A lot of pastors don't say things and don't do things because they're afraid people are going to leave and they're not going to give their church anymore. That's it. I'm just saying it. And they're scared to do anything or step out for God or have anything, you know, preach on anything because this person or anything else too, that might things might get out of control and they might lose people and this and that. Well, I'm going to stand before Jesus. you're going to stand before Jesus, and we're going to be accountable for our actions and what we say and what we do, right? So whatever, obey God, do the word, and move on. So again, we're shutting down the enemy. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. We're going to get in tonight about shutting down the enemy. Shutting down the enemy. Ephesians 4, 17, we're going to start there, and it says, with the Lord's authority, I say this. Apostle Paul is saying, Lord's authority, you have authority. I laughed because we kind of got into it one time with some people about the girls one time, and they were, you know, coming against us, and I said, the only authority you have is what I give you. You don't have authority over, to have authority, you know where yours ends and someone else begins, right? And we got too many parents that are, everything, I'm sorry, people only have authority what other people allow them to do, right? Whether it's teachers, whether it's coaches, whether it's anything else, to, for example, as a parent, that coach, that teacher only has the authority that you, the parent, gives them. Jesus would pray for kids, and remember that in the gospel, he goes, where are their parents? Because there's authority involved, right? Because you as parents have authority over your kids. I wish mine would do laundry more, you know, trying to get that authority going, you know, let's clean this house up, let's get these dishes done, you know. Can you cook some? Where's my ROI? Where's my return on investment in this deal, right? Raising kids, that's kind of a money pit. What's going on here, man? No, we're developing good people, amen? And, you know, we can laugh about things and be silly, but we are inputting to the next generation. And that's where, you know, we are as parents, and, you know, we're not, our job as parents is we're training up the next generation to be godly people. Amen. And so it goes on here and it says that their minds are full of darkness, right? They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. How many people have hardened their hearts and their minds against God? A lot of people. They have no sense of shame. They live from lustful pleasure and eager practice of every kind of impurity, right? Because these people are led by the spirit of the world. There's something influencing them. But that isn't what you've learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus, you have learned the truth that comes from Him. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupt by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Isn't that interesting? Again, we want to renew ourselves. We want to put that Spirit of God on us. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't let us sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. I like it in the King James, says, neither give place to the devil, right? So what this means is this: put on those things of God and shut the door to the devil. We're not going to give him place in our life, right? James 4, 7, we've read this, I don't know how many times, but it says what? Submit yourselves therefore to God, what? Resist the devil and he'll flee. Too many people say, I'm going to resist the devil and he'll flee. I'm sorry, but it says before that, submit yourselves therefore to God, right? I mean, I remember, you know, being in school, and when you're studying, you're doing things, you know, you're just not going to get knowledge or be able to pass a test by just vegging out, right? You know, just watching TV. You got to put something in yourself. You've got to study. You got to read. You got to develop. You got to do things. It's just, things just aren't going to happen. I think too many times Christians, they just think that I'm just going to say a prayer and everything's done, right? Adrian and I worked I sometimes for the ministry at Rhema, I would answer the calls and pray for people over the phone, but also too, for a while, we worked for other ministries there, and people, you know, and I love people, but you know, they're just people that their life is such a mess, and they think that they're going to give you a call and everything's just going to be fixed. And it's just not, you know, because you're sitting there going, I love you, but you know, there's a lot of things going on here. You need to be in a church. You need to have a pastor. You got to do something. Resist the devil. It says, neither give place to the devil. Sometimes Christians are giving place to the enemy and they're opening up doors that we need to close. Either living right, doing the right thing, right, what have you. Matthew 28:14. Matthew 28:14 says, and we'll start in verse 18. I'm sorry. And Jesus spoke and said unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You have a power. That other is another word for authority, right? Mark 16:15-20. This is, again, Jesus gives us authority, doesn't he? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every preacher. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs, here we go, shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall what? Cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You notice how that here that casting out devils and also there's a separate one for healing the sick. You know, not everybody's demon possessed. We talk about a demon. It just means sometimes there's something hindering them they need to deliver from, right? Luke chapter 4, verse 33. Luke chapter 4, verse 33. I'm going to kind of move through these here. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. So again, there's an unclean spirit. And he goes on and saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, son Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace, come out of him. And then the devil, and when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spoke to themselves and say, what word of this? Here we go. For what authority? Everybody say authority. Authority. And power, he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out. We're not exercising our authority, are we? Matthew 10:1-8. Matthew 10:1, it says, and when he had called them, his 12 disciples, he gave them power against what? Unclean spirits. To cast them out and to what? To heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You notice how the casting out of demons was before the healing? Maybe not. Some of you may have heard this before, have you? We're all just going to be happy and just lay hands on people and just come out. I mean, just we're going to be healed. And there's definitely something with that. But also, too, verse 8, and it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Here we go. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, it's interesting enough that Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet, but he gave them his authority, and they weren't even born again. They weren't even spirit-filled yet, and they were going out doing these things. I always love how Gary Crow you know, he was the dean of Rhema there and some other, and, you know, and they talked about different things about just how, you know, sure is nice when, I just remember those days, we were, of course, you know, had some birthdays here, the girls' birthdays and everything, and just looking at pictures of them, just babies and stuff, and I'm thinking, thank God I don't have to do diapers anymore. You know, that's just, and then a pay raise, once you get out of diapers, and then you get out of, like, formula, it's like, hallelujah, you know? But it sure is nice, and we were out to eat last night, and I just saw, you know, I had a commercial, which is kind of odd, a little girl pulling up her Pampers, you know, like those Pampers, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I'm delivered from diapers. All that stuff. It's just like, you know, I can just set free, you know. But to move forward, it's like this. It's like, you know, I'm so glad that I don't have to do every single thing, right? I got to cut the food up, and I got to, you know, do this, and I got to make every little thing. And it's just brutal, especially in the wintertime, like right around now. You know, those of you, you know, you get the little kids, you know, it's like, I got to put, you know, not only do I have to put, you know, we got to get the pants on and the sweater, and then I got to put socks on, then I got to get boots on, then I get it, you know, then we got to put a jacket on and zip it up, and then we got to get a hat on, and I got to tie it on, then it's like, then that one's running around, then we got to get the next one, and you know, and then it's like, okay, then, oh, this boot fell off, and then we got to put them in car seats, and then we got to do this, and then I got to, you know, lug each one out there, and then it's freezing. You know, back then we didn't have a connected garage, so it was like the van was, or the car was out in the driveway, so it was like sub-zero weather, and the car's running, and I got put in this, I mean, it was like 30 minutes just to get, you know, the kids in the car and to start driving, you know, and then Adrian and I looked at each other all the time and go, you know what, we just look at each other someday and we say, you know what, someday we're going to say, we're going to go eat, and you know what, we walk outside and get in the car and drive, you know, I mean, thank God those days are over. I mean, I love those days. There's some things I really cherish. I loved them when the kids were really little, and that's just, I really miss that sometimes. But, and that's our spiritual walk. You know, there's just some times where, you know, as we grow and develop, we want to pull more people up. We want to help them out, right? We need to help change spiritual disciples with other people. You know, I will say this. I'm just going to, and I know, you know, nobody's perfect. We know that. We're all, you know, everybody in this church, you got things you're dealing with, you know, whatever, kids or finance. We're all, you know, we got things we're working on and trying to develop. But I've been in churches before, and this is not like, this is not a bias, but I really feel like we've got extremely solid people in this church. I mean, I've been in churches before where we just got like, you know, basket case after basket case after basket case, you know, and I know people, we all have, you know, like I said, things going on, but I've been in churches before where it's just like, I mean, you know, people are just off the rails, you know? There's just some people that are just like, they're just all the time, you just get all these groups of people are just doing crazy stuff. But, you know, I am very proud of the people in this church, you know? And again, there are things we're all dealing with, and we're not saying that if you have a massive issue, don't come to us, because we're definitely happy to help people. But, you know, I feel like we've got a really good group of people here, you know, really good church family, that very solid people they're really proud of, you know. And again, I think that's kudos to everybody here, that you take the word, it's something that, you know, you want God to do some things in your life, and you pick it up and you do it, you know. Is everybody perfect? No. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But, because you don't want to ride with me in traffic, okay? I'm just telling you right now, that is an issue I'm trying to get. I've got under the blood and keep it. No, but sometimes I get a little bit, you know. God bless you. I love you. Right? So, and there, we all, you know, we're all those little things that just kind of, you just kind of, ooh, my, I've got a, the peace of God passes all understanding. But the point is that we need to grow up, and the Apostle Paul talks about that as well. We are what we're growing from faith to faith, right? Ephesians 4 chapter. We'll close with this, maybe if we can close it up here. Ephesians 4th chapter. How many times I've read this, but I love it. I believe this church, and not this nation, but this church, we've got some amazing things ahead. I really do. I really believe that God is doing some tremendous things. And I know for myself, I'm going through some different things this year, positive, good things that, you know, I believe God is going to open some doors up for us. We look at Ephesians, the 4th chapter, it says, and he gave some gifts, talking about Jesus here. Ephesians 4:11, if I didn't say that already, but Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, what this means is it just means perfect or mature person. Right? It was like Adrian and I, when we first got married, we had, this morning we were just, talking about different things, and I was sharing, with Molly and Kate earlier today just about some of my addictions and some of my struggles, and it's never something that, you know, hey, I'm proud of this, and you know, there's people that it's kind of like when they talk about things like that, it's like almost like they miss the bad days, you know, like, oh man, it was so awesome, man, before I got saved, I was so drunk all the time, and man, I partied so much. But like, you sound like you kind of miss it, you know, those people, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you kind of like, sound like you kind of regret not doing those things, you know, and for me, it's not that way at all. It comes out like, you know, don't make the mistakes I did, right? And Adrian and I, we'll be married 29 years this year. She's put up with me that long. Hallelujah. But, you know, we got married, and I mean, I was still struggling with coming to church every day, or every Sunday, right? I mean, I had things to grow and develop, right? I mean, you know, there for a while, it was like cases of beer in the fridge, and it was like, you know, I was drinking, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that fell off. But I don't need somebody to tell me not to go. I don't need somebody now to tell me to go to church all the time. Why? Because of the Scripture. I've grown and developed into the perfecting. Now, I'm not perfect. It just means you mature. And you get beyond somebody else trying to, you know. I mean, those early days, I would come to the book of John, Pastor Bill. I'm like, did you read this? This is awesome. And I'm like, yeah, he's read it like 100 times, you know, 100 million times. And I'm like, this is awesome, you know, and I'm just a baby. Help me move my Pampers, you know. But I had to work through those things. Like, you know, there was times where, you know, I was still struggling, you know, right before, you know, I was still struggling to go to, I'd go to church and I'd be completely drunk. I had to get, you know, before I met Adrian too, it was like, I'd have people that would, I'd get so convicted, I have to go to church. And I was still drunk the night before. And I could barely see. And I know I stunk so bad, but it was like the conviction was there. Well, I needed help in those days. And of course, we all need help. I mean, you know, nobody's an island of themselves. We still have those things. But what it means is this. You grow and develop so somebody doesn't hold your hand all the time so you can help pull other people into the kingdom. Amen? And that's what we're looking at is this Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 11th verse. And it says that for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Verse 14, and then it says, that henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceit. Speak the truth in love, that ye may be able to grow up into him in all things, which is the head of Christ. I want to stop there for a moment, verse 14. And it says, that we're not tossed to and fro like children. Right? How many times did I, and even now, people in churches and everything, and they start talking about these things like, well, I've heard, you know, Speaking in tongues is of the devil, and it's not really, or passed away, and all these other things. Now, wait a minute here. What are we doing? We're gonna use the word, right? We're not gonna be tossed to and fro just because somebody said something, right? Sometimes I'm just embarrassed with all the people on TV. You know, they always have to give $50 and you get 50 blessings. It's like, where does that in the Bible? I mean, you know, I was dumb back then. I'm like, I can't get that check off, you know? Because, you know, you think that those things are going to work. Right? Now it says God's going to give us the power to get wealth. Right? We're going to have the power to get wealth. He's going to give us revelation on things. God's never, you see in Proverbs, God is not into instant success, right? Because it can destroy people. How many people who win the lottery end up bankrupt? Prime example, right? Why? Because they don't have the character or the capacity to manage it. So these quick, get-rich-quick schemes are kind of dangerous because sometimes people are the reason why, I mean, you know, some people, they're in the condition they are because of things they haven't, you know, developed yet. But you can develop. We can develop. We can move past those things. We don't have to be tossed to and fro, right? All these other things. It's like, well, this because this pastor said something, and, you know, how many people, and I hear ridiculous things from people. They say, well, you know, our pastor said this or everything. That's crazy. You know? I'm like, okay. I'm trying to bite my lip the whole time, right? It's completely unbiblical. But you know what's so great? I believe this, and that's why, you know, you begin to have an inward witness when you hear things that's either biblical or not. The inside just goes bing. Something goes off on the inside, right? Now, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about we need pastors and teachers, but then also the scripture talks about the Holy Spirit's going to be our guide and advocate, right? Our teacher. Jesus said that in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. He said the Holy Spirit would be our guide, our teacher. He didn't say we didn't need pastors and teachers and the fivefold ministry gifts like we do, because, you know, I still enjoy pastors and ministers. They still, you know, it's great listening to them, and there's ministry gifts that can help us. But the Holy Spirit's going to lead us and guide us in all truth, because when you hear something and you're mature on the inside, you're going to be able to tell that's right or wrong, right? They're like, that just doesn't sound quite right. You're going to get this weird thing on the inside. But like Brother Higgins says, it's going to be warm and velvety on the inside when it bears witness with you. That's why I always say, when you come here, we need thinkers in the body of Christ. Not just, you know, people that shut their brains off and don't think about things. I had one time, somebody was correcting this person that there was like some weird stuff going on with the girls one time. We're cracked into and they came back with, well, you're supposed to be a pastor and you're supposed to walk in love. It's my kid and I'm going to correct you when you need correcting. Don't you? And it got very uncomfortable. Don't you ever twist scripture on me again. Don't you ever do that again. Because that's my kid, and I'm going to tell you what I think, and I'm going to bring correction. And by the way, the Apostle Paul says that I can bring correction to you, and that's fine. Because I can still be a pastor and correct people when they're out of line. And you can too. And so don't let people manipulate on things. Okay, guys? You know, I don't have to shut my brain off. And I have a lot of people that come to me, and they say, well, you're a pastor. You can do this. And then they'll spout some scripture and try to, you know, corner you in this. And I'll say, well, thank you for twisting scripture, but let me give you about 10 scriptures to combat what you told me. So again, we don't have to be manipulated. And I'm going to tell you what, there are people that can come against you. They have spirits on them. They have religious spirits. They have other things. And we're not going to get all owie with people. But what it does mean is I can deal with things. We can deal with things as believers. We don't have to walk around eggshells with people. We still love people, but on the other hand, we're still going to do the word. If that makes other people around us uncomfortable, then so be it. I always laugh because I'm thinking, if Jesus showed up today, he'd be in jail. And I guarantee you, a lot of the people that are in religious community, if Jesus showed up and became their pastor, they'd walk out. you know, these people, like, I'm just so awful and terrible and mean because I actually stand up for something, or I correct people about things when they you know, come against me. I'm thinking, if Jesus showed up, he'd show up with a bullwhip and he'd call you the devil. So, right? Let me just say this sometimes too. When you do say things, people are convicted, they don't like it. It's kind of like telling your kids to go do their room, or they're wrong, or something like that too. You know, you're just a stupid head. You're da da da. We are not going to be children tossed to and fro. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We are going to stand up to the devil in every situation that we do have. Amen? And when people come against us, we're still going to love them, but we can still use the word. Amen? And remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but there's spirits behind things sometimes that influence people. Father, we just thank you so much in the name of Jesus, these precious people. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight that we are recognizing the enemy and we are going to walk in our authority in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not going to be fearful of the enemy, but we're going to exercise our authority. Hallelujah. And send the devil packing, and we're going to have peace in our lives, Lord, and we're going to recognize things. And I just pray also tonight, the people in this church, that we are led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you're gonna lead us and guide us in all truth. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Woo! Hallelujah.